God bless you, and thank you for worshiping with us here at Central Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Ben Zing. I'm the pastor of evangelism and community here. And today's scripture reading will be in Luke 2, 25 through 35. And as you turn to that, I want you to ponder this question. What is the longest you've ever had to wait for something? 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 year, or even longer? I was thinking of examples in my own life, and I thought back to 1999, when I waited in line overnight, camping out, for tickets for Star Wars Episode 1. And thinking about the contrast to especially this past week when I got tickets for Star Wars Episode 9, what a deep contrast, because I remember back in 99, it was actually senior year, I was studying for finals, but I still made it a point to go wait in line overnight for these tickets and camped out with a bunch of other crazy people. And we waited all night, just waiting to get our tickets. And after waiting in line, the next week you would come to the theater and wait in line again to get good seats for the movie. And you just waited and waited, and that waiting was this anticipation for what was coming. And contrast that to this year, where I got on my phone, purchased some tickets for the date that I wanted, selected the seat that I wanted, and then showed up 5 minutes late to the movie, even after buying popcorn and those things for the movie. And I lost a certain amount of that waiting and anticipation that when you sit and wait, there's something that happens as you're eagerly awaiting. But all those examples, although they shed light on personal connections with waiting and anticipating for something that I really wanted, a sense of delayed gratification versus instant gratification, it pales to comparison to some of the stories I've been hearing from people lately. Back in April, Harvest Ministry, which does the gardening ministry that builds a relationship with immigrants and refugees here in St. Louis, hosted a workshop to come learn more about immigrants here in St. Louis. We asked Jacqueline Ballard, who works for International Institute of St. Louis, to come share as she works with that agency to place immigrants once they come here. So she knows the 101 of immigrant kind of experience as they come here to St. Louis. So she shared a little bit. I shared a biblical view of how we can love our neighbor. Sarah and Deb shared more about Harvest Ministry and how we intersect with the Word as well as with their experience here, as well as we had a lot of friends come. We had a Nepalese family come as well as a Syrian family come. And as we had this time of fellowship with those that wanted to hear more about what God's doing in the immigrant experience, we had some question and answer too, and one central family asked the Nepalese family, "Did you go to school while you were in a refugee camp?" And the Nepalese family said, "Well, we were in the camp for 17 years before being placed here. We had to go to school, so our school was just in kind of a tent next to where we lived, which was not a permanent place." Now, can you imagine living 17 years in persecution, waiting and waiting for a safe place, for a place for freedom, a place that you can call home, a place that's permanent rather than just this tent that has very limited access to just safety and feeling like it's a home. Today, we're going to look at a character in the Bible that his whole life, he was waiting for something. He was actually promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw it. He was promised that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Jesus. Once he saw this Jesus, he knew that he was well worth the wait. Just like that family knew, when they found that freedom, it was worth the wait, even though it was a long experience. They continue to see what God's doing in the last 10 years here in St. Louis, that Nepalese family. If you would turn with me to Luke 2 as we read. Luke 2, 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. For this past couple of weeks, we've been doing an Advent series called Is He the One? Pastor Clay, and Pastor Charles, as well as our Christmas Eve service, has all asked that and posed that question, is he the one? And we answered, yes, he is the one. But he is the one that what? Has he come to provide just me with salvation? Has he come to provide me with just a comfortable and a safe life? Has he come to make my life easy? Or is he the one that has come to bring life to all of us who deserve death? As Ravi Zacharias has stated, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. And Christ is the Savior that we have all been waiting for. He is worth the wait. As he has come into this world, we are thankful for his first coming, and we're eager and waiting for his coming again as he has promised. And today, as we go through this scripture this morning, there's three things this morning that we're hoping to kind of see in the scriptures. First, Simeon was waiting on the Lord. He waited on the consolation of Israel and the coming of Jesus. And when he experienced Jesus, Simeon saw Jesus and knew he was well worth the wait. And then we see that since Simeon waited, he knew what to expect, living a life that would follow and know Jesus. So whereas the shepherd symbolized the average person on the street, Simeon represents the testimony of a wise elder who has walked with God. Saints touched with God's heart often wait expectantly for the completion of God's promises. This revered saint is led to see what the arrival of this child means. So first, we see Simeon waiting on the Lord, as we see in verse 25. Simeon is first described as a righteous and devout man that was in Jerusalem. Thus, we can say he is one that is faithful. He is obedient to Jewish traditions and laws. His life is said to have already firmly focused on the promised future intervention of God on behalf of his people. More than that, again, he is a man on whom the Spirit of God rests and to whom the Spirit has revealed that the Christ would be born in his lifetime. It's interesting because he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Simeon was waiting for Israel to be comforted, as we see in verse 25. Israel had a rocky past in history. There were a lot of ups and downs in its history, as you read in the Old Testament. They were in slavery in Egypt. They were invaded by multiple nations. Now they were being ruled by the Romans. They were God's chosen people, but they were looking to the promises of the prophets that a Savior was coming. They were looking for the one that would comfort and free the Jewish people. There had been prophets after prophet indicating that there was a Savior that was coming. There was about probably 400 years from the last prophet Malachi to when Jesus was born. So there was a long waiting that they were doubting if God would ever show up. I mean, the Israelites started thinking the Roman Empire was gaining more and more strength. And where was this Christ that was promised, this Jesus that would bring salvation to the people of God? Would he come and free them and from the reign of the Roman Empire? But Simeon, as he took a look at this baby, was filled by the Holy Spirit to understand that this baby was the one prophesied. He had been waiting in the temple day after day, seeing these children come for their purification rites. And he was wondering, is this the one? Is this the one that's chosen to live a perfect life, to die for us, and to give us life through this child that God has sent? And as he continued to do this day and day and day after day, he must have doubted, but at the same time, his heart knew to stay committed and devoted to what the Holy Spirit was filling him with. So when he finally saw this baby, he saw the salvation that this baby was going to bring. God revealed to him that this is the child. It wasn't just a temporary peace and comfort from the Roman Empire that many Jews thought, but one that would be for all people. The history of the Israelites and the Holy Spirit allowed Simeon to see in this baby that they could be free. They understood captivity. They understood through their history what it meant to be slaves against their own wills. So here God has shown them not just freedom in human, earthly human sense from government and rule, but freedom from the penalty of sin. The freedom they can now have through Christ in a spiritual sense. Christ came to deliver us and set us free from the penalty of sin. We can find true comfort in our lives when we see Christ's purpose in this world and the impact that has in our lives. This was the very message that was declared to those in the St. Louis County jails last week when we had a Christmas concert there. Randy Mayfield and the All-Star Band will put on a set singing Christmas songs, singing Elvis, singing Johnny Cash, singing all these aspects that would finally lead to gospel songs that would lead these inmates, first men, the women's floor, then the men's floor, to understand this hope that they can have in a Jesus that they're waiting for in their lives. They knew that as Ted Winters and Pastor Mike Jones were sharing the gospel with them, it was a get out of jail free card that they all wanted. They want to get out of jail, but what jail are we talking about? It's not the jail of what they see in the county jail, but it was the jail of sin that they're caught in. And they can find freedom from that. And as Ted Winters, the chaplain there, and as well as Pastor Mike Jones was sharing, they invited them to step forward if they want to come and receive Jesus in their lives or rededicate their lives to a life with God, with Christ. And as we had rows in front of us, four of us waited to pray with each of these people making a decision for Jesus. We saw row after row after row after row of people coming to receive Jesus in their hearts. And as I saw and witnessed, as I was having the ability to pray with some of these women and gentlemen, I saw in their faces, in their hearts, the hope that they were receiving and the freedom they were gaining from their sin. They were captured and slaves to sin, but ready to surrender it all to Jesus, who can change and transform their lives. And this is something that I've been seeing all this year. Ted Winters invited me into the jails earlier this year, and I've been teaching an anger management and fathering class in the jails. And it's been an amazing sight to see men that know that they're in there for a purpose. That purpose is they've done wrong, and they know that they've done wrong, but they're ready for God to show them that they are ready to be transformed by God's power and strength. And now they're waiting and waiting just to be released so that they can try to be a productive citizen in society. And as I hear story after story of ways that God's changing them, I've been intersected by their stories. And I remember Ted actually invited me to do some one-on-ones with some of these men as well. And as I was talking to this one gentleman, he was so clear that he was so hungry for the gospel. And I was ready to pray with him. I said, "Do you want to pray to know this Jesus in your heart?" And just something stopped him, and something stopped me too, that we didn't complete that prayer in that moment. And he needed more time to think. He needed more time to ponder. He needed more time to understand fully what he was giving his life over to. The next week, I was back in the jails, and another gentleman told me, "Hey, Ben, you won't guess what happened." And I said, "What?" This one gentleman just received Jesus because I prayed with him in the jails. I was blown away. God is creating missionaries through our classes as we're teaching anger management, fathering in a biblical standpoint to pray over other gentlemen that need this too. And this man that is in my class that has seen this turnaround in his life prayed over this gentleman that now had received Jesus in his life. God is doing work and he's creating his missionaries all around Clayton. And we continue to know that Jesus, this Christ that has come that give comfort, the ways that Simeon looked towards the consolation of Israel, and he lived in a way that he was eager in anticipation of what God was going to do. He waited a lifetime for this baby to step through those doors. And this ability to stay the course and not be distracted, he was able to recognize the baby. Now we have to ask ourselves, are we living in that anticipation and eagerness for Christ in our lives? As God is changing and transforming lives, God wants to make it clear to us to not give up hope, as Jesus is the one that is worth waiting for. Simeon can be content even as he faces death, knowing that he has been carrying out the Lord's call to know what God is best. That means that we can transcend circumstances, because to know him means to have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content, as Paul says in Philippians 4. His goal is knowing God, with whom he will have a relationship forever. Contentment means knowing the source of life who can help us see even beyond our death. So as we approach the new year, New Year's resolutions become very popular. And according to a Barna poll, here are the top four resolutions that people are giving. One, improve personal finances. Two, stop smoking. Three, lose weight. Four, get more exercise. And our resolutions usually reflect our concerns and where we want to improve ourselves to have a sense of contentment. We tend to define contentment in a privatized way about how our personal lives are going. Since we set goals that have nothing to do with relationships, many of us find ourselves lowly and discontented. For God has created us to relate to others, and especially to Him. So one of the effects of a culture that elevates individual rights and personal focus, as ours does, is that we lose sight of how we can gain contentment by interacting with God and others. So where are the goals that relate to pursuing God or knowing Him better? Why do resolutions for most of us primarily deal with external things? As many of those things are good and important, the thing that is the most important is a goal of how our relationship with God is something that would be centering for us. And then with that call to know God deeper is to love others and be serving Him in the ways that we love others. So one of the great blessings of Central is that there's so much going on here and there's so many ministries. And one of the curses of Central is there's so many things going on here and so many ministries. Because how do I get involved? Which one should I get involved with? How do I do this? I'm burnt out, or I'm not burnt out. I'm going to do the... But one of the things that God does is we go on this journey together. And there is so much for each one of us to do. Each one of you plays an important part of being His church, of doing what God is calling us to do, and loving each other in this room as well as loving those here in our city and loving those around the world. And as God is calling us to that purpose, are we finding our resolutions of this year, this next upcoming year? How am I going to get involved? As I'm worshiping here, loving God, knowing God, and what He's saying to us, how am I going to get involved in the life of this church? How am I going to get connected? How am I going to do what God's calling me in this next upcoming year? Can we set those goals that will build relationships with God and then relationship with others? One of the things that God continues to do is to allow us to know that there is all so many different ways we can get engaged and involved. So pray and discern and find what God's calling you. Second point this morning is knowing that Simeon saw Jesus and knew He was well worth the wait. Simeon is ready to depart in peace because the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus had arrived. Simeon then starts saying in verse 29, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." What has Simeon seen? He has seen Jesus, who is God's salvation for us. We now have the good news that we no longer have the bad news, that we all deserve to die, but because of the sin in our lives. But Christ has come to save us and die for our sins. And Simeon declares that this is as God prepared for all His people, not just certain people that live religiously or good lives. It wasn't just for the well-off. And it wasn't for those that live pretty good lives and helping others. This saving grace of Jesus has come for all people, both the Gentiles, who none of the Jews thought about, and for the glory of the Jews, as it didn't neglect them. Now remember who's delivering this. The messenger is Simeon, who grew up as God's chosen people of Israel. He was in the temple, he was in Jerusalem, but God put in his heart this saying, these promises, this word, this prayer, that they would be a light to the Gentiles, and in that being a light to the Gentiles, it would bring glory to His people. The light of salvation comes with revelation and glory as the result. Jesus serves two constituents here with His salvation, Israel and the Gentiles, but each in a slightly different way. He is a revelation to the Gentiles, for they will be brought into blessing through His ministry in a way they could have hardly imagined before His coming. And then also Jesus is glory to Israel, for through Him they will perform their service of ministry to the world. All eyes will be drawn to Israel through what her Messiah achieves. He is the magnet that makes her great. What the promise of God come, they come through the promised one of Israel. We need to take this to heart as a church now and God's people. We continue to remember that Christ came to seek and save the lost. So we are to continue to share Christ's light to those that don't know Him and see that Jesus brings glory to us when we celebrate in the return of the prodigal son, rather than pout and look to ourselves like the older brother in that parable. So as I mentioned previously about Harvest Ministry, I've been so thankful for the ways that we continue to love and share the good news to the immigrant refugee community here in St. Louis. Through a Thanksgiving dinner here at Central, we invited immigrant families that we've done ministry with and built relationships. And Sarah and Deb and the team invited about 160 people that were families that came and ate and worshiped with us and giving thanks for all the things that they're thankful for. And we were able to share gospel music with them. Then also at the Christmas Advent party in South City, God had given us opportunity to continue to have relationship with families that came again, not just the Thanksgiving, but then also to a Christmas party, where again, we were able to share relationship as well as God's word with them of the story about Jesus. And we're seeing a love relationship with Nepalese, Congolese, Syrian, Iraqi, and so many more. And we're beginning to see fruit of people coming into relationship with Jesus, but there's so much patience called for us. Sometimes we're just tilling hard soil. Sometimes it's just planting seeds. Sometimes it's watering that seed. And now we're seeing some harvest, but through all of that, it's God that is clearly making it grow. We're also seeing this in the international ministries. I invited some of those that help with our international ministry and our translation to Mandarin team, as well as our Mandarin Sunday School and others, friends that would join a Thanksgiving dinner that was hosted by InterVarsity International. And in that Thanksgiving dinner, we were meeting international students from all over the world. Again, just sharing relationships, sharing more about who we are, hearing about who they are, and inviting them to a relationship with God. And we continue to see ways God is connecting us with especially Chinese postgraduate students through Mustard Seed Group. We're seeing a Chinese population that are coming here to study at WashU and other places, at UMSL and SLU, and they're getting connected with us and with the Mustard Seed Group. And we pray that God will continue to share the light of Jesus in these areas and arenas. The census is coming up here in 2020, but the 2017 Clayton census tract has indicated that Clayton is 12.7% Asian, with a majority of that being Mandarin speaking. So we continue to hope and pray for the ways that God will share. And one of the statistics that's actually really worrisome is those international students on campus, 75% of them will never set foot in an American home. They'll never get off campus. They'll never meet their neighbors. They'll never meet the community. And God wants so much for us to intersect and share the gospel in relationship and love with those that are coming here to St. Louis. With that in mind, I had the privilege of teaching a class this past Equip Central, and the class was called Ambassadors of Good News. And that's from Corinthians 5:20, which I'll read to us right now. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. An ambassador is a person of high rank employed by a government to represent it and transact its business at the seat of government of some other power. So that is a good dictionary definition. But for us here, ambassadors' actions, character, and words embody the king who isn't present. And we know God is our king. He's the one that has full authority, and he's the one that we're representing. And we're just his ambassadors following along with his rule and his authority. But we represent him in our actions and our character. So everything we say and do has importance because of the king we represent. This is not just a part-time thing, but a lifestyle and involves everything we do. So we represent God's purposes to the people he places in our lives. We have to ask ourselves this question: how can I best represent the king in this place with this particular person at this particular time? So God is calling us to be his ambassadors. Are we ready to be ambassadors of his good news no matter where we are, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our schools, even in our church, in our neighborhood, in our city, around the world? How are we being his ambassadors? And from Stand to Reason, they gave these three things about being an ambassador for Christ. First, Christ's ambassadors need the basic knowledge necessary for the task. They must know the central message of God's kingdom and something about how to respond to the obstacles they encounter on their diplomatic mission. So in other words, as ambassadors for good news, of good news, the gospel for Jesus, you need to know the gospel. We need to know God's word. We need to know this and have knowledge of it so that we are able to know it for ourselves, that we are sinners and we deserve to die, but Jesus has given us life. We need to know that the bad news is answered by his good news. If we know that, then you're on your way to be an ambassador for Christ. Because the second thing is, it's not enough to be for followers of Jesus to be accurately informed mind. Our knowledge must be tempered with the kind of wisdom that makes our message clear and persuasive. This requires the tools of a diplomat, not the weapons of a warrior. Tactical skill rather than brute force. So in other words, the ways that we are engaging with others, do we know who they are? Do we hear who they are? Do we understand their culture and how to speak to them in a way that they'll understand in their language and their understanding of the gospel that we're trying to present to them? That comes with understanding first the gospel, and then also having wisdom on how to communicate it to those that we're trying to build credibility and trust and love that they can see this good news. Lastly, finally, our character can make or break our mission. Knowledge and wisdom are packaged in a person, so to speak. So if a person does not embody the virtues of the kingdom he serves, he will undermine his message and handicap his efforts. So in other words, if we're saying all these things that we need to live by, and then we have wisdom on how to declare it, but they don't see it out of our lives, then we've already declared that we are hypocrites and we're not living out this truth. And God wants clearly from us to live as men and women of character, as men and women that are after his own heart. We're not perfect and we're still sinners, and that's part of our message as well, that we fail, but we have the grace and love of Jesus that's faithful, and we declare that message to others. So, as ambassadors of God's good news, are we a light to the Gentiles? Are we light to those that are lost and need to see Jesus in their lives? Lastly, our last point this morning is, lastly, Simeon wanted Christ, waited on Christ, so he knew what to expect. And as we see in verse 34, Simeon blessed them, his parents, and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel." So not a very encouraging word, even though he first blessed them, and he told them that your son's going to cause the falling and rising of many. But the end of this, it says, is because it will be revealed in their hearts what is coming. So Jesus, in this encounter with Jesus, there's no neutrality. When you encounter Jesus, you come and understand that he is the king and he's the one that I want to submit my life to. Or you see Jesus and you want to turn the other way because you still want to be king over your own life. There's no neutrality there. So as we encounter Jesus and know who he is and how he loves us, how are we responding? That is the question that he's saying to the parents, that he will cause the rise and fall of many because they'll be intersected with that question. And at the same time, Mary, your own heart will be pierced to your soul because you will see your son suffer for all of humanity. He'll die for all of humanity. And no parent wants to see their child suffer in that way. But Mary will know that this is for all of humanity and all the ways of for God's plan to be laid out, that God will ultimately bring salvation to all of us and bring victory over death as Jesus will be raised from the dead and sit at the right hand of God, that as we anticipated Jesus coming to do that for us in this understanding Christmas, we now are waiting for him to come again in his second coming to usher in his new kingdom. So in that way, we ask, are you ready to wait on the Lord? Are you understanding that waiting on him is well worth the wait? And you continue to see the ways that you're called an ambassador of Christ, of good news, as we continue to share that good news with those that are lost and need to hear it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you that you show us your great love for us, but you're calling us to seek and save the lost. And that you are the light to the Gentiles, but it's all for the glory of your people, that together we'll worship you and know that you're calling people to yourself, changing and transforming lives. Now help us wait upon you, know you, and see that you're well worth the wait. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.